You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our lesson is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up a full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day. And after you've done everything possible, to still stand. So stand with a belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate, and put on shoes on your feet so that you're ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. As for me, pray that when I open my mouth, I'll get a message that confidently makes the secret plan of the gospel known. I'm an ambassador in chains for the sake of the gospel. Pray so that the Lord will give me the confidence to say what I have to say. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. So, here we go. Are you ready? I had originally planned a much lighter version of the sermon and the message today. I was going to make Mary Magdalene into a superhero with lots of big sparkly pink things and a cape, and it was a completely different turn. And then yesterday happened, and I guess this morning too. And I cannot deny that a mass shooting at a Walmart or anywhere is something that I can just let slide by today. So I feel called to spend more specific time in reality instead of fantasy. Maybe I feel more emotionally connected to this incident because I was one of those kids who loved going back to school and loved going with my family or friends to the store to get what? A new box of crayons, a package of pens that were just for me, some paper, a notebook, all the stuff that made me excited about going back to school. There's a kind of ceremony to shopping with them to get that stuff, and the fact that one broken young man could set out to hurt so many people, that someone like this could just walk into a store packed with families going through things for their back-to-school adventures, point a multi-shot weapon at random people and pull the trigger is a mystery to my soul. This is not the way to live like Jesus. This is not what God wants us to do at any time. And somewhere along the way, he lost the sense of right and wrong that Jesus asks of us. We've spent 4 weeks exploring how we might live God's way as modeled by Jesus in this world of mass shootings and instant information. Knowing that there are many challenges that could prevent us from being successful at it. We know that we are called by God and that we should answer the call we each receive in the best way we can. We know that we should remember how the Good Samaritan rescued and cared for the guy in the ditch. And we also know that the guy in the ditch was transformed by the compassion he received, and it changed his life. We know that while Jesus said Mary took the better choice to focus on who was visiting and not the trappings, being like Martha is worthy as well, and we should take the best of both personalities and use them in our faith. And we know we can be true imitators of God and live like Jesus, bringing love, forgiveness, and hope to these times. These four main concepts are all worthy and can be true goals we set for ourselves as people who believe. But after hearing reports and details of yet another senseless attack on innocent people, I have to admit that the time has come for some action. And I hope you're ready for this, because today, my friends, we put on the armor of God and we get out into the street somehow. The words of wisdom for today is from the last chapter in the letter to the Ephesians. And these are the author's parting words of advice to a young church that has struggled with all the usual challenges of being a new faith community in a well-established culture full of multi-God believers and, yes, warmongers. Essentially, the author of this letter wants the people to be dedicated, loyal, and committed super disciples themselves. And he's bestowing on them all the tools they will need to fulfill their own faith destinies as they make their way through their lives without the leadership of Paul in their complicated world. As usual, the call is to participate in revolutionary follow-through, though the conflict mentioned here is not one between humans with weapons of physical destruction. It is a battle of beliefs, a call to living an alternative, one God-influenced life, to setting a completely different and obvious example, and to taking whatever heat may come from living it. And in those days, the heat could literally scorch the skin off of someone who claimed to be a Jesus-believing Jew. So this call wasn't taken lightly. You could die for just saying you were a follower of Jesus. Here again, the portion of this text that I think is relevant. And think of all the ills we are faced with in our own time. Think about children and their families shopping for school supplies. And I quote, "We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens." The author knew that while they most certainly faced physical challenges, persecution for their beliefs and antagonistic Roman soldiers and skewed laws that hovered in every corner of their lives, the greatest challenges would come from other world situations and experiences, the forces of cosmic darkness and spiritual powers, of beings who instill suspicion and fear, could influence and interrupt all the good that a small alternative church, does that sound familiar, could muster on behalf of one God who sent Jesus to be among them. And so the author of this letter bestowed the whole armor of God to the congregation in Ephesus, which is layered with these key superpowers: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes that lead them to peace, the shield of faith to protect them, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, backed up with prayers for strength to truly do God's work against the forces of darkness and evil. Superpowers indeed. And not only were these elements vital to the Ephesians, they are necessary tools for us today as well. We must let each element of God's armor permeate our entire selves so that nothing can penetrate our faith as we face the dark forces of our world. Now, one evening's viewing of the news for the day will tell us that we need all the help we can get to stand up to those forces. So another layer of assistance with staying strong in our faith is implied here. reminding us that we aren't expected to tackle all of this by ourselves. This letter was sent to a group of the faithful with encouragement that they stick together and support one another while they do God's work. This means as we are reinforced with God's armor and we stand firm together, we become an intimidating wall of goodness and justice to ward off any negative influence that might materialize before us. There is strength in numbers. And this is why we have church. In our days of serious unrest in this country and in the world, of heated politics, shootings in public places, rampant name-calling, and hateful actions amongst one another, I'd say being community together in a space like this is necessary. But what about those times when we're on our own, away from the comfort of the group? I have a little personal vignette to share with you. A few years ago, while I was driving in my little hometown of Prescott, Arizona, I drove by a vehicle with the following words written in large white letters on the back windshield. "Obama, I hope you die before you kill my country." I would say this is not something that comes from just a political belief, which we are all entitled to express based on laws established long ago in our nation. I would say an extremely frustrated and angry person was also declaring his or her deeply felt truth to the world. And I'll be honest with you, it frightened me because it didn't feel rational or debatable. This sentiment came straight from that other world, dark influence in the cosmos. And to me, it was pure evil. Wishing anyone dead is not on the list of behaviors modeled by Jesus. The armor of God protected me and anyone who may wear the same armor, but what about others in Prescott who could be influenced or even encouraged to stay on the dark side by what this message said? I have to admit, I didn't stop to pursue it. And I'm not sure what I would have done if I'd seen the author of this message. But what are we to do when we're faced with something like this and we're not in our friendly, cozy group? Do we just keep going, knowing that in our group we are protected, and leave it at that? You already have the answer, though, don't you? And it's not an easy one. Theoretically, we can't just walk away. We can't keep ourselves insulated in this space so that we can safely hide from all the bad that's in the world. The armor we've been given isn't only meant to protect us from danger out there. It's also intended to protect us when we go into any situation that challenges what we deeply know to be true. And we who declare ourselves to be people of God, we who strive to wear that armor of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, we who carry the radical message of the sword of the Spirit, and it is a radical message, we've been called to reveal God's love to others, to go into places where it's dicey and uncomfortable, because this is what Jesus did. Jesus modeled the power of God's armor in all actions of his life. His whole nonviolent being infiltrated places where God's love was missing. He gathered people and momentum, changing his world one person at a time. And in the end, yeah, it cost him his life. He was a troublemaker, and he got taken for it. But his message and his example continues to influence a world full of people who are searching for some peace and some hope. I can't help but think that troubled people, and especially those young men who violently attack and kill innocent people in public places. And there is a pattern, by the way. There is a pattern. Troubled people who have missed being on the receiving end of love and acceptance that Jesus brought to the world, somehow, for far too many reasons and far too long, they are living in places of anger, loneliness, and pain, causing them to act out with horrifying consequences. Hope seems like a stranger to these souls. And our society as a whole should pay more attention to the causes of such acts of violence. And yet, we've been gifted with the same armor the Ephesians received all those years ago. We know God is present in all things, good and bad. And we have enough hope because of what we believe and say we believe that we can share it with anyone. So my prayer for all of us is this. As our days become more and more complicated, as we feel more and more that life is careening out of control, let's support one another in our family of faith. And then let's remember how Jesus lived in and used his armor. Let's pray for the strength to do something outside of this church to bring change as we can, knowing we're also bringing God's love with every selfless act that we do. Because people do notice if you live differently. And they'll wonder what brings you that strength. And let's never lose sight of all that the Holy One has been, is now, and can be out there. The power of the Spirit is real. And it is our job as people who believe to bring it in and send it out. I would love to ask a blessing on all of you for this time that I've shared with you. It's been really, really great. And I hope that some part of what I've done with you and for you sticks. And you take some peace with you and let God work in your souls here and there. And we could all say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.